You know, hope is absolutely essential to life. If you think about it, at the most basic level, hope is what gets us out of bed in the morning, right? It's what drives us to keep moving forward as we set goals and seek to achieve them. It's what keeps us going when our whole world seems engulfed in darkness or difficulty. Hope is something that wherever we find ourselves, we still believe that more is yet to come. Amen? And yet, not all hopes are equal, are they? Some let us down because they've been built on no more than wishful thinking, right? Been there, done that, got the t-shirt. Others because they've been built on the shaky foundation of an untrustworthy promise. At the end of the day, it's not that we hope, or even what we hope, that matters most. Rather, it is the foundation on which our hope is built, the reason why such a hope is even a possibility. And in his letter to the various churches of Asia Minor, St. Peter exhorted the persecuted Christians of that area to always be prepared to give a reason for the hope that is within them. No matter what they faced, no matter where they found themselves, the implication, of course, is that such hope would obviously and necessarily be evident in their lives, even among those facing apparently impossible circumstances. Hope is a hallmark of the life of faith. What is the content of that hope, though? What is the content that we, of our hope? It is the hope that we have that no matter what situation we find ourselves in, God has promised to be with us constantly and to strengthen, right? To comfort, to guide, to equip us for every task to which He's called us to. It is the hope that we have that He has promised His Word to neither leave us nor forsake us, and that He has plans for our lives that are to prosper us and not to harm us, to give us hope and a future. Do you hear these scriptures from throughout the Bible? It is the hope we have of eternal life with God and one another, an abundant life awaiting us that is bigger and better than anything we can possibly imagine. Can I get an amen on that? I like that. But our passage today lays the firm foundation of that hope that I'm talking about there. And it says, "But God proves His love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." You know, that's something that is hard for us to imagine. And quite honestly, one of the places where it really struck me was, and Kevin's heard this story before, and so have our Boy Scouts, so I apologize, but in God and Life, the first year I taught God and Life here, if you were here a few weeks ago, several of our boys received God and Life, and it is a God and Country program where in early elementary it's God and me, in older elementary we teach God and family, and then middle school is God and church, and high school is the most advanced, and it's God and Life. But anyway, I had three seniors that year, and one of their assignments was to watch the Passion of Christ. Now, if any of you have, I'm sure most of you have probably seen that. It is a pretty gruesome thing. And just like any good high schooler, at least a guy, when they walked in, I could tell they had just watched the movie the night before, you know, waiting for the last minute to watch it. Because a movie like that, it doesn't leave you when you leave the video or the theater. I mean, you walk with it for a while, right? And they walked into my office, and we got to talking about this. And one of the guys, after we'd been there 30 or 45 minutes, says, "You mean to tell me those guys that whipped Jesus he died for? You mean to tell me that guy that pulled his shoulder out of the socket to make it to that nail hole in the cross, he died for that guy?" And it was really an epiphany for him that when we were enemies, when we were enemies, Jesus died for us. Think about that for a minute. I mean, we'll put our lives on the line, right, for a great friend, definitely family, but for an enemy, would we really put our lives on the line for an enemy? So the Apostle Paul says, but God proves his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Indeed, if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, how much more, once reconciled, will we be saved by his life? You see, it is in the cross that we see the full depth of God's love for each of us. It is in the cross that we see the source of our confidence and our hope. Does that make sense? Are you with me this morning? Paul says only a few chapters later, what then shall we say to this? If God is for us, come on, finish it for me. Who is against us? He who did not spare his only son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not also give us all things with him? He loves us more than we can fathom. So much so that he died on the cross for us and has promised to never leave us nor forsake us. He's even given us his very Spirit to strengthen and to guide and to encourage us in this life and to sanctify us and prepare us for the abundant life that is to come. All of these things are certain because they rest on the very faithfulness of God. Of course, it is very easy in the midst of our day-to-day lives to lose sight of this hope, right? Sometimes we face what seems like impossible circumstances, and the weight of it all threatens to darken our entire perspective on life, doesn't it? Other times, the sheer busyness or maybe the monotony of life gets in the way and distracts us. How can we hold on to hope in these circumstances and even help it grow? Well, one key, a very important one, can be found in the book of Lamentations. Now, Lamentations is a book that it's just a hard book to read. Written in the hopeless days surrounding the destruction of Jerusalem and the exile of the people of Judah, Jeremiah laments throughout several chapters. But then suddenly he remembers something that changes everything. It reminds me of that. Sorry, chasing a rabbit here. You know that commercial where it's, our family gets the biggest kick. There's this stuff that you squirt in water and it makes it flavor, different flavors. And remember that commercial where they're sitting in the office and they'll squirt and the guy changes in their drink and the guy changes? You remember that? And they'd go back and forth, and finally a white guy turns into a black guy, and he says it changes everything. But anyway, you have to watch it. It's funny. But dry humor here, okay? So it changes everything. And his whole perspective is flipped on its head as simply he remembers the faithfulness of the Lord. And this is what he says, Lamentations 3, 19 through 23. Write it down and take a look at it. Remember my affliction and my bitterness, the wormwood and the gall. My soul continually thinks of it and is bowed down within me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercy never comes to an end. They are new every morning. And then, of course, the song, Great is thy faithfulness. That's the one light in the book of Lamentations, those scriptures right there. You see, rather than let Jeremiah's circumstances change his belief about God, he allowed his belief about God to change his ultimate disposition of his circumstances, right? In the face of what he was what was ahead of him. And in doing so, his hope was renewed. And there is something truly powerful about reminding ourselves of God's love. Amen? Of God's faithfulness when we least feel it, or being determined to have an attitude of gratitude, so to speak, for God's blessings, even when they seem scarce. It is neither escapism, or it's not the power of positive thinking, right? It's not from reading a book that the author has earned tons of money on, right? It's God. It's God. It is simply reminding ourselves that the deepest reality of all is God and His love for us. It is only as we do this that we grow stronger in our hope. Whatever it takes, hold on to hope, for those who trust in Him will not be disappointed. Isaiah 49. Amen. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much, and we give you praise for the hope that you have gifted us with. For it is a hope that is deep and wide with your love. It is a hope, Lord, that has been forgiven and re-forgiven over and over again. It is a hope that understands that Jesus died for us while we were still enemies, Lord. We give you thanks in the love that you have for us. And although it's inadequate sometimes, we really do give you praise, give you honor, and give you all the glory. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. And all of God's people said,